Hello and welcome to the Crossroads Podcast. My name is Kyle Horton. I'll be one of your hosts. For those of you that don't know, we are part of the Dirty Boot Sports umbrella. Dirty Boot Sports started off as a fantasy football league back in 2008, the Dirty Boot Boys. 2 years ago, almost to the day, a few of the guys from the podcast, including myself, decided that we would try our hand at a sports podcast. Well, that has evolved and we've kind of decide to include other things that we enjoy. So, of course, sports, football, baseball, basketball, college sports. And then we kind of branched out into, talk about the music that we like or the movies that we like with the regulars. That's one of our big podcasts. We've even branched out to do some stuff with food. Hunter Folks is doing pizza reviews. So those are some of the passions we have. And with that being said, we decided that it was time to do a podcast on another one of our passions, which is our faith. So that is what this podcast is going to be about. On this podcast, we will do Bible study. We'll do some interviews of some people and have them give their testimony. And this podcast will simply be faith-based, Christ-centered, and we'll just see where it goes. But for right now, at the moment, we're really looking forward to doing some Bible study with y'all. So, here over the last 18 months, for the very first time in my life, I've been a Christian since 1998. I was 10 years old when I got saved. And the very first time in my life, I started reading the Bible cover to cover 18 months ago, and I just finished that task a couple of weeks ago. And not long after that, or basically immediately after I finished it, I was anxious because I didn't know what I was going to do next. And I had been reading and journaling every chapter of the Bible, 3 chapters a day, for about 5 days a week for that 18 months. Now, of course, there was times when I missed, but for the most part, I was pretty steady with it. And I didn't know what I was going to do next. So I began to research different study methods, ways to study the Bible. And one of them that I came across is called SOAP. It's an acronym for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. Some other people use the HEAR method, which is highlight, maybe evaluate, apply. I'm not real sure exactly what that stands for, but I know my buddy Derek uses that method as well. But either way, we're going to approach this Bible study 1, 2, maybe 3 verses at a time, and then we'll apply the SOAP method to those verses. So we're going to start in Philippians. Philippians is a book that has really been on the forefront of my mind lately. I've been hit with a lot of good sermons in Philippians that have convicted me, and it just seemed like God was trying to get me to study Philippians. So that is where we decided to start. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an intro on Philippians, a little background information. Now, keep in mind, I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm not a theologian. I have not been to seminary. I'm not a preacher. But a lot of the information that I'm going to get is going to be from like study Bibles, different references like that. I also use the Blue Letter Bible, Bible Hub, as these apps on my phones that are amazing for doing Bible study. They can take you back to the Greek, take you back to the Hebrew. You can get text commentaries, cross-references. You can look at different translations all at once, and that's really going to help us in our study. So once I finish the intro on Philippians, then I will break off into the first scripture that we're going to do SOAP for, and it's actually going to be chapter 1, verse 6. So I will read all the way down to all the way through verse 6, and we'll stop there. I'll read a couple different translations. I think that's really important because I'm not dogmatic on what translation you use. And actually, I think it's beneficial sometimes to compare translations, and even when you're studying. Now, our pastor uses the New King James Version. And so that's typically what I read from, just because it's easier to follow along in church, and I bring it home and study that as well. But I also love the New American Standard. The New American Standard is considered very much close word for word to the Greek and the Hebrew. So if you will, picture your translations on a spectrum, okay? And the spectrum goes from word for word to thought for thought, okay? So the translation will either try to capture the scripture word for word or just try to narrow down the thought. So the New American Standard would be on the word for word side of that spectrum. You know, translations like the New King James Version would be in the center. And then translations like the New Living Translation or the NIV, which is very popular and what I grew up on, is going to be closer to that thought for thought side. So I'm not dogmatic on any of them. I know people like to argue that the King James is the end all be all, and I think the King James is wonderful. It's beautiful, but it's hard to do on a podcast or a Bible study when people aren't used to it. I have no problem with King James. I love reading it from time to time, but we'll focus on the New King James. I'll read some out of the NASB, and then I'll try to incorporate the NLT as well. I know the NLT is really easy to understand. So let's see. All right. With that being said, I think we can start off our soap study, and I will start by reading Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, on through to verse 6. All right. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And this is the verse that we're going to focus on. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. All right. So I was actually supposed to do the intro to Philippians first, but we'll go into that now. So Philippians, for those of you that don't know, and I know most of you will, Philippians is written by Paul. Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was not one of the original, the 12 disciples. So he had his encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. So he was Saul, and he was converted to Paul, or he changed his name to Paul at the time of his conversion. And he has written most of the New Testament. So a lot of our theology, a lot of, you know, the way that we interpret the gospel and apply it to our lives comes from his letters to the church. So Philippians is going to be a letter to the church in Philippi. It's called an epistle. That just means a letter. The audience is the church in Philippi. And the purpose of this was Paul was writing a thank you for a gift that they sent, learning that Paul had been detained. So Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter. He uses the letter to address a few different things. Number one, he wanted to report his circumstances and tell everybody what was going on. Number two, he wanted to encourage the church to stand firm in the face of persecution. Number three, he wanted to correct them and exhort them to humility and unity, something we could definitely work on now. Number four, he wanted to introduce them to Timothy and Epaphroditus, two young leaders of the church. Number five, he wanted to warn the church of Judaizers, which just means false prophets. We'll go into that later. And some quick facts about Philippi. So the city of Philippi is named for King Philip II of Macedon, who is the father of Alexander the Great. Any history buffs out there, you know who Alexander the Great is. It was a prosperous Roman colony, and its citizens were citizens of Rome. This means at that time, that was a great privilege to be a Roman citizen. So they took pride in this. Many of them were retired Roman military who were given land in the area, who in turn served as National Guard type of presence. So they basically, Rome would conquer a people, and then they would give some land and some homes to Roman military in exchange for them to keep the peace. So another thing of note, there was no Jewish synagogue in Philippi, which means that there must have been less than 10 Jewish males living in the city. If there was 10 or more, they would be required to have a synagogue. So in Philippians, Paul does not quote any of the Old Testament. So his audience is entirely Gentile. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, okay? And that kind of strikes home for me because I, of course, we're Gentiles. I think sometimes when we read the Bible, we kind of see ourselves as God's chosen people. But God's chosen people were the Jews. And I'm not Jewish. If you're listening to this, most likely you're not. In fact, I don't even know any Jewish people just because of our geographic location. But we are the Gentiles, and it is such a privilege to be grafted into the tree and into the family of God. So let's see. I won't go into the outline. I don't think that's super important. But Philippians is a short book. It's 4 chapters, but I do anticipate this being quite the study. So I've read to you verse 6. I read it in the New King James. I would also like to read it in the NASB and the New Living Translation. So this is the New American Standard Version. For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. All right, and the New Living Translation says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. All right, so that's going to be the S part of our acronym of our SOAP study, okay? The scripture. So just if you're working with me now, just write out the scripture, and then we'll move on to O, which is observations. So one verse that I think is important to tie in to this is Hebrews 12:2. It says that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Okay? So he started this work in us by his work on the cross. And by the way, I'm recording this on Easter Sunday, so he has been resurrected and he has risen. He has overcome death in the grave, and that gives us hope in a future and in an eternity spent with him. Also, the Holy Spirit pursues us. This is why we can have salvation. So Jesus dies on the cross, he pays our sin debt. The Holy Spirit pursues us, and we can have justification upon our salvation. Okay, justification means that we have been saved, that our debt has been covered. Okay, now sanctification means to grow in our faith and grow in our relationship with Christ. That is the perfecting of our faith part of this verse, by growing in our relationship with him. Our faith grows as we walk with him, becoming less like ourselves and more like Christ. Ultimately, our salvation is going to be complete on Jesus' return. When Jesus comes back, when we are raptured up, with either when we are the dead in Christ rise, or we're still here on the earth, when Jesus comes back. As Christians, we believe that our salvation is complete when Jesus comes back at his second coming, and he's coming back, that is for sure. So let's see. Because we are justified, we have the gracious privilege of dwelling in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. And that's the opportunity that we have to be with him in heaven. And you can see, like, just from the observations, why I felt like this was such a good verse to stop on. Now we ask, how do we apply that to our lives? So this is the application portion. Number one, we can have confidence in our salvation in Christ Jesus. Okay? It says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it. Okay? God is a God of promises. God is a God of covenants. God never broke a covenant with us. We, as humans, have broken God's covenant. Right? Adam and Eve broke the covenant with God by eating of the tree, right? By sinning. They brought sin into the world. God's people, they broke the covenant with God by having idols in their lives, the Jews before Christ. They worshiped idols, right? But God has never broken a covenant with us. And if he tells us something, he's going to do it, and we can bank our eternity on it, right? So we can have confidence in our salvation in Christ Jesus. And another thing about that, guys, I just want to stress that it's so awesome that it's not on me and it's not on you, because I'm not good enough. You're not good enough. Only one was ever good enough, and that was Christ Jesus. Okay? And if it were on us, do you think God would send his only son to die, to suffer and die, to be humbled? To go from the throne of heaven, to go from creator to a little child born in a barn, growing up poor, very meek and mild, humble beginnings, to a man who died in his 30s, right? No, like he wouldn't have done that if it was on us, right? If we could just sacrifice a lamb or a ram every year and get by, he would not have needed to send Jesus to die. But we weren't getting it done. We weren't good enough. We're not good enough. And it was God's plan all along for Jesus to come. And I thank God for that, because salvation is a free gift. We are saved by faith through grace, or by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That means that salvation is a free gift that we have accepted from God by our faith in Christ Jesus. So what a comforting part of that verse that we can take home, and then we can bank on him, that we don't have to worry about our eternity if we know Christ Jesus as Lord, and if he is Lord of our life, and if we've repented from our sins and proclaimed him as Lord and asked him to come and live in our hearts, then we don't have to worry about eternity. Death no longer has its sting. We don't have to worry about death any longer. That has been man since the fall has had to face death, right? Every man that has ever lived, I guess maybe there's a couple that have been, you know, called up in a chariot of fire, but basically each and every one of us is going to meet that appointment, okay? Taxes and death, those things are certain, but we don't have to fear that because of the work of Jesus Christ. Also, we can acknowledge and appreciate his sacrifice for us on the cross by following him and sharing the gospel with everyone. Okay. So, and also we can live our lives in a way that looks toward his second coming. So that's the kind of the sanctification part of that process, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So that means God is still working on us, right? And if you belong to him, if you are a Christian, if you know God, then when you sin, you're gonna feel that conviction, right? And for me, in my life, eventually it was like, God, I can't help but like serve you, to seek after you, to look after you every day, because God would not give me that peace, right? The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit: peace, love, joy, happiness, long suffering, kindness, goodness, right? Gentleness. The only way that us as human beings, as mortals, as sinful man, can enjoy those fruits of the Spirit in our lives is through that sanctification process, through our salvation, through seeking God, through reading his word, through communicating with him through prayer and meditation on the word, and just sitting back and listening and repenting from our sin. You know, when we sin, we put up a wall between us and God, right? We end up feeling guilty, and a lot of that guilt comes from Satan, who is the great accuser. But sin has always separated man from God. Now, Jesus came and he died, and when he died, the veil was torn from top to bottom, right? He has reconciled us to the Father. But we have to repent from our sin, right? And the more that you get to know him, the more that you participate in that sanctification process, the more you grow as a Christian, the easier not sinning and being holy, or being more holy, or trying to be more holy becomes. And it's hard to explain. It's almost like, I tell people sometimes, don't try to white knuckle your faith. Don't try to like this. And this is what I used to do. I would try to be good for the sake of being good. I thought that my works somehow would be pleasing to God, right? That's not the secret sauce. Okay. The secret sauce is to know God, to get into his word, to spend time with him. And then your love for God grows, right? The closer you get to him, you cannot help but love him. You cannot help but be excited about him. The more that you know him, the more that you spend time with him, you'll just be amazed at what he will do in your life. And then you'll also read in the scriptures what he has done, and you'll just be in awe struck by it. The more time you spend in the presence of God, you can't help but love Him. And when you love someone, take your mom, your wife, your spouse, your girlfriend, whatever. Do you not do things that would hurt them for the sake of just not doing them? Or do you treat them a certain way, and do you act a certain way because you love them and because you wouldn't want to hurt them? And that's how I view sin in my life now, is like, I don't want to sin, and I do every day. Like, it is part of my flesh, but I'm constantly like, the reason why, like, I want to turn away from my sin and I want to continue to see God is because He deserves that. He paid a price for us. He sent His Son to die for us, right? We owe Him our lives. We owe Him everything. And the thing I try to do is to give this life back to Him. Okay? So that is that sanctification process. Also, the final part of that verse is says the day of Christ Jesus, or the New Living Translation says on the day when Jesus Christ returns. If we live, okay, so first of all, I think that probably most generations, including the generation of Christians right after Christ, probably thought that, boom, here it is. The end of the world's coming. It's coming now. In fact, Jesus did say, I come quickly. So, every generation has always thought, man, this has got to be the end. Think back to the Civil War. So many people in the country are dead. God's coming back, right? The World War One, war throughout the entire world. God must be coming back. World War II, another world war, an atomic bomb. God must be coming back. The Cold War, the threat of nuclear annihilation. God must be coming back, right? Now, we look more like Sodom and Gomorrah, than we do the USA currently, right? Today being Easter, the White House made sure that they let everybody know that March 31st, which happens to be Easter Sunday this year, is trans whatever aware or trans awareness, trans visibility day, right? They put that out along with Happy Easter, which, by the way, they put a wreath with some Easter eggs in it. There was no cross. There was no He is risen. There is no Christ is King. Okay? We live in a fallen world, and Jesus is coming back. Is He coming back soon? I don't know. I don't know. And the Bible tells us that no one knows, not even the Son knows, only the Father knows. So we have to be okay with that, but we also have to live like He is coming, and He's coming now. Okay? If we live in that way, and that the way that we live in that way is to share the gospel with others, to grow in our relationship with God, and then share so we can bring home with us as many people as possible. I've heard it put before that the reason Satan goes so hard at us is to hurt God. He wants to hurt God. So he wants to take God's creation, the apple of God's eye, the greatest thing that, God created the universe, right? He created the laws of physics. He created the elements. He created the earth. He created the sun, the moons. He created our genetic code. But the greatest thing that he created was man. We are at the top of that list. And Satan wants nothing but to separate us from God. Because guess what? He is going to be separated from God in the lake of fire for eternity. And he wants to bring as many people with him as possible. Our job is to bring as many people out of that destiny, out of that eternity, and have them with us in glory as Christians. So we should be, number one, pursuing God in our own lives, and number two, sharing the gospel. And if we live in those ways, then I really think that we can honor God. So P in soap stands for prayer. Prayer is something that I really like about the SOAP application, or the SOAP study method, because prayer is a part of my walk where I struggle. I am more like the pray continuously type of person. Like, anytime anything happens in my day-to-day, I'm going to pray about it. It's not going to be long. I'm just going to like take it to God, ask God for help to be with that person, or to be with that situation, or, what I do here. I'm always kind of in a conversation with God in my heart. Now, where I lack is in dedicated prayer time, which God deserves from each and every one of us. So I really liked the prayer part of this, and I'm just gonna pray the prayer that I wrote down for this study. Father, Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Because of you, we have access to salvation and to the word. We can then read your word and apply it to our lives. Help us to understand just an ounce of your grace that you have showered us with. Thank you for the work of Jesus on the cross. Thank you for the sanctification process, and help us to always share the gospel. Let us look forward to Jesus' triumphant return. Amen. So that is the very first Bible study. We will continue to study in Philippians. I made it all the way to Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. So just a few verses later. On the next podcast, we will study 9, 10, and 11. That will be your SOAP acronym. The scripture part of SOAP will be Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. So if you're listening, I would encourage you to do this Bible study with us. And you can pick up there and write out the scripture in the translation that you prefer. Write out what you think it means to you and your observations. Write out how you can apply it to your life. That's the A part, right? Application. And then write a prayer pertaining to that verse. And I think that if you join this study with us, that it will bless your life. It certainly is a blessing to me. There are other people who I'm close with who are doing this Bible study with me, and we would love for you to join and just see where this takes us, okay? I think this is a great jumping off point. I can't wait to see what God's going to do with this podcast, and we're excited. We're excited at Dirty Boot Sports to share our faith with you because it is one of our passions, and yes, our moniker is Dirty Boot Sports, right? But our identity is in Christ. So anyways, thank you for listening, and we look forward to speaking with you, interacting with you. Don't be shy. Hit us up on social media. Tell us what you think. Now, I will say that this, my vision for this podcast isn't to be dogmatic about different positions, right? Isn't to be dogmatic about different translations of the Bible or this or that. We should seek to be unified in Christ. And that's what I want for this podcast to be. I want it to be encouragement. I don't want it to be an argument on theology, okay? And yes, Philippians is thick on theology. And yes, we could argue that. And yes, you are entitled to your own interpretation of the word. And that's okay. But keep in mind that this is to glorify God. So when we discuss this and we chat with this, let's just talk about it in that light, that we are here to glorify God. So anyways, thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time.